Hi, Nest Mamas. I'm Sue Boland, and I am incredibly privileged to be with you. I've been part of Watermark since 2007, and I've had the opportunity to come to the Nest a number of times. Love it every time, and I'm sorry that I can't be with you in person, but I thank the Lord for the technology that allows me to record this for you. I am going to share with you my heart and my head about raising gender healthy kids. And this whole issue of gender is really near and dear to my heart. And it started in 1998 when I started doing research for Probe Ministries, where Ray and I are on staff, to provide a biblical, compassionate perspective on homosexuality. Because that's what we do. We help people think biblically about a wide range of topics. And through the research into a biblical view of homosexuality, the Lord led me into an affiliation with Living Hope Ministries, which is a ministry here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that helps people deal with unwanted homosexuality. And also ministers to the family members of those who have chosen a gay identity. And since 98, I've been part of Living Hope. I've been ministering there as a board member, as a small group leader, as a speaker and teacher for them. And so what I'm about to share with you comes not just from the research that I've done, but the many, many conversations that I've had with both men and women over an over 20-year period that gives me a perspective on what it takes to be a gender healthy person. And let me just share with you, it has been such a privilege to share about this information with the Nest, because this is a great time for you to be aware of a different perspective on gender than the narrative that you're going to hear in the world. So let's talk about raising gender healthy kids. What does that mean? Well, I would suggest that anybody who is gender healthy is able to celebrate God's good choice to make them male or female. It means feeling comfortable in your skin as a boy or a girl, as a man or a woman. And we see a whole lot more gender dysphoria and people believing that they're born in the wrong body these days than we've ever seen before, literally in the history of the world. So let's go back to the beginning of what is it that we can do as parents and grandparents, and teachers and aunts and uncles and neighbors to pour a sense of blessing into boys and girls to help them grab a hold of the goodness of God in making them male or female, because the Lord is the one who chooses if he wants us to be a boy or a girl. Our gender is stamped into every cell in our bodies, and we are different. We are different in our minds, in our brains, and in the body chemistry, in the way that our bones are structured, in the way that everything works. That's God's good plan, and he makes it very clear what his intention is. For every baby, when you hear them at the time that they're born, it's a boy, it's a girl. That's God's good choice. So let's celebrate that. And one of the things that has been really helpful for a lot of people over the years, especially that I've had a chance to minister this truth at the Nest, is that I would suggest that instead of there being a single gender spectrum with masculinity on one end and femininity on the other, I don't think that's the way it works. I believe what God has shown me years ago is that there is a single spectrum for masculinity and a different spectrum for femininity. And God chooses where on that spectrum every person starts out. So I would suggest that on the masculinity spectrum, on the one end are your rough and tumble boys. Often we think of them as all-American boys. They're very involved in anything sports, and they come out of the womb looking for something approximating a sphere so they can start playing ball. They often like getting dirty. They love to fight, whether it's play or real. There's so many aspects of that rough and tumbleness that we think of that as, oh, that's masculinity. And I would suggest, no, it's not. It's certainly the majority of males, but it's not the whole story. Because on the other end of the masculinity spectrum, equally designed by God and delighted in him by God, is the, over on this end, are the creative, artistic, sensitive boys. They tend not to like, they don't like the rough and tumble. They don't like contact sports. If they are going to gravitate towards sports, it's going to be even not sports activity. Let's talk about dancing and just moving in very fluid ways. I mean, I know of a little boy that as soon as he started to walk, he danced from point A to point B. He is now in ballet classes as a high schooler, incredibly gifted, because God made him that way. God releases beauty and glory through this type of boy. The sensitive, artistic, creative ones have a different heart. They're very tender-hearted, extremely relational, and they connect with people differently than the rough and tumble type of boys. It doesn't take long for the type of child that you get to be released. My husband is a lead teacher in Orange One. So he gets the kids who are about to turn two in August, and he gets them for a whole year as they turn two and they learn to talk and they get potty trained and they start picking up some fine motor skills, and it's a glorious year. And he said, even with the two-year-olds, he can spot those artistic, sensitive-hearted little boys, because if somebody is unhappy, they'll easily drop what they're doing and go over and start patting the other child. You okay? You okay? And there's this beautiful tenderness and compassion that comes out at two. Nobody teaches them to do that. It just comes out of them because that's how God made them to be. It is, it's a beautiful thing to nurture this type of boy, because if they are built up in the type of masculine that God intended them to be, they can be the most amazing fathers and teachers and counselors and pastors. I remember one of my sons, I have two sons, and one of them is definitely on this end of the scale. And when he was in fifth or sixth grade, he came to me and he goes, "Mom, I'm such a girl," which at that point, for a boy to call another boy as a girl is the worst insult there is. So I had to deal with that. But he's like, "Mom, I'm such a girl." And I said, "Why, Kevin?" And he says, "I just cry so easily. It's like, it's really bad." And I said, "Sweetie, you're not a girl. You are a tender-hearted, compassionate, pastoral-hearted boy. And as you grow up, some girl is going to find you and think she totally hit the jackpot in the kind of boy that you are." Well, he went on to get a degree from North Texas in art education and is now in San Francisco. He owns four cafes. He sells high-end coffee. And sure enough, he met a girl who knew that she had hit the jackpot. But in addition to being a coffee person and an artist, Kevin has an opportunity to be a pastor to his baristas, and that has, that tender-heartedness has blessed so many people. My other son, he says, "Mom, I'm right in the middle. I really love, you know, soccer and that kind of sport thing, and I'm more tender-hearted than a lot of other guys, but I'm kind of in the middle." And you will find boys at any point along the spectrum. Now, here's the thing. Most people are born at a point on the spectrum, but some come into the world taking up more bandwidth than others. So some of the guys that came through Living Hope dealing with their unwanted homosexuality were, yes, they were tenderhearted and sensitive and artistic and creative, but they were also uber athletes, and they loved getting out there on the football field and, beating each other up and getting points for it. They had a bigger swath on the spectrum. By the way, I've have observed over the years is that as boys grow into men, and as they grow spiritually, they start taking up more bandwidth on the masculinity spectrum. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because if you were to ask, where would you put Jesus on the masculinity spectrum? I would suggest he's the whole thing. He was a man's man. Men were drawn to Jesus. He was strong and a courageous leader, and he wasn't scared of anybody. And at the other end of the spectrum, was he creative and artistic and sensitive? Hello, have you ever seen a sunrise or a sunset? He's the creator of that. And women and children were drawn to him. Why? Because of his tender, sensitive heart. He was the whole thing. And as Christ followers become more like Jesus, guys are going to start taking up more bandwidth on the masculinity spectrum. So there's also a femininity spectrum. And on the one end, you have your girly girls. They come into the world saying, "Oh, can I have a pink receiving blanket? And I want one of those little headbands around my little bald head with a great big flower on it." And they can't wait till they have fingernails big enough for mommy to put nail polish on. And they're just, that's what comes to mind when you say the phrase girly girl. On the other end of the spectrum are your tomboy jockettes. These are, girls that have no patience for dresses or nail polish or makeup or any of that girly girl stuff. Just give me a football so I can throw a perfect spiral out in the front yard. And I want to climb trees, and I want to learn how to change the transmission in my dad's truck. And often they're gifted athletes, and often they're also natural born leaders. And God makes that whole femininity spectrum to his glory and for our good, for the good of the church, for the good of the world, the good of families. So I think about every single tomboy jockette woman that I know. When I've asked her if she's very gender healthy, it's like, I'm a tomboy type, but here I am married with kids, and I love being a mom, I love being a wife, it's all good. When I've asked them, what is it that your parents did to help you grab a hold of your tomboy femininity and be so healthy and so at ease in your own flesh, in your own skin with that? And all of them said the same things, which is that my mom and dad realized this is how God made me, and they supported me in being the kind of girl that God made me to be, and they supported me in my sports, they supported me in any leadership things that I did. But then they also taught me that there was a time to put away the jeans and the sweatshirt and put on a dress, and there's a time to make sure that you don't, in that dress, try to climb a tree, and there's a time to act like a lady. And that sounds pejorative to some people, but there is an appropriateness to being well behaved and respectful and not trying to act like a rambunctious boy when you're actually a girl. And they got a balance there of cherishing and celebrating the type of girl that they were, at the same time teaching them how to fit into the world of girls, how to fit into the world of women. So, this gender spectrum idea has been super helpful for a lot of people in recognizing God makes boys and girls exactly the way He wants them, and He places them on the gender spectrum wherever it pleases Him. And if we can recognize that it's not, that, oh, you're a good kind of girl and you're not a good kind of girl, or you're a good kind of boy and you're a loser, you're not like the others. We need to shove that away and say, no, we need to celebrate kids as God made them, that they are just the way He wanted them to be. And then teach our children to accept kids, other kids, as they are, instead of pointing fingers and judging someone for not being like ourselves. Realize they're different. They're simply different. That's gone a long way in terms of reducing parents' stress levels. Because think about the inherent conflict of a rough and tumble dad who starts realizing that his little boy wants to dance or wants to put on mommy's skirt and twirl around in it because he thinks it looks really cool. And he's thinking, what's wrong with my boy? And it's like, there's nothing wrong with your boy. He's just different from you. Just like some people really like certain kinds of desserts and others like apple pie instead of chocolate cake. It's okay to be different. If we can just grab a hold of the fact that God makes children different to His glory and for our good, let's just celebrate that. So with that in mind, let me suggest that we want to stay away from gender stereotypes. They are a problem. It's too restrictive. The box of, oh, this is what girls do, and this is what girls like, and this is the box of boy, what boys do, what boys like, is way too narrow when God gives a marvelous breadth of difference within boys and within girls. So don't teach them to your children, and don't internalize it for yourself. So for example, I know of some parents that panicked that their little boy loved pink and purple and he wanted sparkly stuff on his backpack and on his shoes. And they were thinking, oh no, my four-year-old is a gay boy. It's like, no, he's a boy who likes pink and purple. Jesus likes pink and purple. Again, sunsets and sunrises. So what we need to do is let go of the gender stereotypes and just don't even go there. Just embrace children for being who they are, how they are, and realize there's a lot of latitude there in terms of what kids can be like. And if a girl loves to play football with her brothers, she's not a boy. There's not something wrong with her that she's not a subpar female. She's a girl who likes sports. That's the way God made her. That's okay. One of the things that happens with this gender spectrum, because of our fallen flesh, and people tend to judge each other and be unhappy with anybody not like ourselves, is that because the vast majority of boys are in the rough and tumble category, and there's only maybe 5% of boys down here at this end of the spectrum, and there's way more girly girls than there are tomboy girls, then the minority can easily feel like they don't belong with the majority. I don't belong in the world of boys. I don't belong in the world of girls. Something's wrong with me. It's a shameful feeling to feel other than, different. And it's easy to happen because the majority has always going to, you know, is going to emotionally and sometimes physically bully the minority. And so understand that it's not okay to make fun of people for not being like ourselves. And we need to teach kids not to look down on kids who are different than they are. In my 20 plus years at Living Hope, one of the things that we discovered with literally thousands of people who have come through the ministry since we began 35 years ago is that almost all of the men and the women who came to Living Hope looking for help with their unwanted same-sex attractions had a history of feeling other than, of feeling like they didn't belong in the world of men or the world of women, that they were looked down on and judged and basically voted unacceptable. And then when they became old enough to go into gay bars, they discovered, oh my word, there's this whole world of people who are ready to accept me and affirm me and tell me I'm wonderful, and that can be very intoxicating. it would be so much better if just as our ordinary way of doing life, particularly within the church, is to be inclusive and grab everybody and bring them in. So one of the things that we can do to encourage our children to be more Christ-like is to keep their antennae going, looking for kids kind of on the outskirts, sitting on the at the side of the room, the kids sitting alone at the lunch table with nobody sitting with them, and reaching out to them so that they communicate, they get the message, you matter, you're glad you're here, I'll sit with you. So that we can avoid the shame of that feeling of other than. One other thing that I want to share about the whole spectrum, with Jesus being the whole aspect of masculinity, is that as boys grow into men and are discipled well and they become more Christ-like, they start taking up more bandwidth themselves. And I saw this happen in my own family. So I've got this artistic boy who was a soccer player, but he was afraid of balls coming at him. And he thought, this is not okay to kind of live in fear. So he decided he wanted to learn how to be a goalie. Well, goalies have balls coming at you. And he went and overcame his fear and went diving after the ball and became more and more proactive in facing his fears. And I watched as spiritually and emotionally, he started taking up more bandwidth on the masculinity spectrum, to the point that by the time he graduated from college, this art major went and climbed to the summit of Mount Rainier just to celebrate graduating from college. And here he was being an uber athlete on one end and being artistic and creative and sensitive on the other. And I saw the spiritual dimension come about in him as well. I loved that. And I think something similar happens in girls. As we pursue Christ-likeness, he starts rounding us out and stretching us and says to us, come out of your comfort zone. Start trusting me to make you something bigger and better than what you start as. By the way, one of the things that I've come to realize fairly recently about the girls on this end of the spectrum, the tomboy jockette athlete types, often they're frustrated by the idea that you have to be a girl because they want to go out there and fight battles. And they want to defend the people who need defending. And they're frustrated by that because the stereotypes of our culture can say, oh, no, you need to sit in the house and have tea parties. I'm like, oh, no. And one of the things God has shown me in the last few years is that first responders go into burning buildings, and first responders climb up stairs in the World Trade Center on 9/11, and they face their fears, and they go take the courage of Jesus with them. And one of the things that I love about the Christian life is that spiritual warfare is not a gender thing at all. And girls and women who long to fight battles and defend those who need defending can be powerful spiritual warriors when we're doing spiritual warfare. And we can go run into burning buildings emotionally and spiritually. That's what hard conversations are all about. That's what true discipleship looks like. And that's something I'm so grateful that we do so well at Watermark, is to teach people how to deal with conflict, how to have those hard conversations, how to go into burning buildings. And that's particularly good news for those on this end of the spectrum. And then the girly girls who realize, I want to be more like Jesus, start gravitating toward that end of the spectrum as well. I love that. One of the things that I suggest that we do as parents with our littles is to cast a vision for the man or woman that, by God's grace, they will grow up to be. To say things like, you are going to be such a fine man when you grow up. You are going to be such a fine woman when you grow up. And use the phrases man of God, woman of God, just plant those seeds in their spirits. We need to communicate that to boys, particularly on this end of the spectrum, that you can be a good, strong male without playing sports, especially contact sports. We can teach girls, you can be a soft feminine lady and be a strong leader and be a great athlete. And you can be an athlete and enjoy the fact that God made you a girl and not believe any of the lies of the culture. I'm thinking of a young man that was on a soccer team, and his parents, especially his mom, really wanted to protect him from anything hard, which is not a good plan. It's not a good plan for boys or girls, but especially boys. And I love that phrase, you were made to do hard things. And this boy was never encouraged to do the hard things of going out on the field on a cold, rainy Saturday morning and playing even though it wasn't comfortable. His mom would say, no, you just sit next to me on the bleachers and I'll put a blanket around you and we got to keep you comfortable. And he struggled so much with what does it mean to be a man when his mom was coddling him. Mom was keeping him soft. Soft is good for girls. It's not so good for boys. They need to know I can develop a tough skin. And we need to celebrate the gender God made our children to be and not play games with them. One of the ladies that I knew at Living Hope struggled in so many ways. And she part of her testimony is that she said, I was a girl, but my dad made me into the son he wanted. And he just would not affirm her in the femininity, even though she was a tomboy feminine. Dad treated her like a boy. He had no vision for her being a godly woman as she grew up. I want to share with you some suggestions on pouring helpful parenting energies into our kids because of the fact that God makes us with legitimate needs for the three A's, attention, affection, and affirmation. God intends for kids to receive them from their parents first, laying a solid foundation of emotional health. And then once that foundation's in place, then we receive, hopefully, the three A's from our same-sex peers, and then we connect to and hopefully receive the three A's from our opposite sex peers in that order. So let's talk about attention. What does that mean? Well, that need for someone to pay attention to us, I'm gonna limit this to parenting here. That need is met by being there, showing up, making eye contact, really intentional eye contact, because when you are being very intentional about eye contact with someone without looking away, it feels like we're being touched. Our soul feels like we're being touched. And that eye contact is so important. One of the things I loved learning about how fearfully and wonderfully God makes us is that when a newborn comes into the world, her eyes are meant to focus at the exact distance between mommy's eyes and baby's eyes as mom is nursing, whether she's breastfeeding or feeding a bottle. That distance between mommy's eyes and baby's eyes are exactly right for a baby to lock into mommy's face and make eye contact with mommy. And one of the things that that does is it establishes a sense of, I'm here. I'm a person, I matter, I'm getting my needs for attention met. Of course, babies aren't thinking that, but that's what's happening, is I'm real, I matter. It's the reason that children in orphanages in China and Russia and other places often have failure to thrive because there isn't anybody pouring eye contact into them. Another way that our need for attention is met is by really listening. Because we may as well have an invisible tattoo across our foreheads when we're born that says, I have a deep need to be heard and understood. And so we need to listen to our children. And let me just say, one of the best things about discovering the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, years ago, John Gray wrote this blockbuster book, and it was very helpful for me to understand my husband, because he's male and I'm female, and my two sons. Turns out I had two little men from Mars. And what I discovered is that while I can multitask, because I'm a woman, families would fall apart if women could not multitask. But most males cannot. And it has to do with how their brains are literally wired, okay? But what I discovered was that if my sons started talking to me, like when I was emptying the dishwasher, say, they didn't really believe that I was fully paying attention to them if my hands are moving, because they couldn't multitask. And so when they would start a conversation with me and I would stop what I was doing and give them my undivided attention, something happened. Something almost magical happened in our family when my boys started feeling heard and understood, even though I promise you I was listening just as hard as I had been before, because I can put silverware away without thinking about it, but they didn't know that. So that feeling of needing to be heard is huge. And so we need to make sure that our kids know I'm listening. And I remember hearing the story of a little girl who was on her daddy's lap, and she reached up to his face and pulled it to hers and said, "Daddy, I need you to listen to me with your face." I love that. That's just the cry of the heart, and we need to listen to our children with our face. Another thing we need to do in order to meet a child's need for attention is to watch them without doing anything else. One of the best things my husband ever did when our kids were playing soccer is he never sat on the bench, on the bleachers with me. He was always at the sidelines, walking up and down. He was right near wherever they were, and no matter what was happening on the field, when our kids looked over to the side, they could see their daddy watching them, giving 100% of his attention to them, and they felt so loved. I remember a friend of mine was talking with another daddy on the porch as the daughter was jumping on the trampoline, and daughter kept saying, "Daddy, Daddy, watch me." And daddy was much more interested in talking with his friend. And his very wise friend said, "Tom, if you don't watch her now, she's going to go looking for attention from places that when she's older, that you're going to wish you had given her that attention now. Just watch her." Really good counsel. Another final way I wanted to share with you about giving attention is by engaging and interacting with our kids, asking questions, and showing interest. And particularly if kids are interested in something that we're not, and this is particularly true of daddies and sons, okay? Fake it till you make it. Pretend like you're interested and engaged. Kids need to know my mom and dad care about what I care about. And it matters to them what I'm doing. So stay engaged. By the way, for rough and tumble boys, attention is proximity. You don't need to be right there together for a rough and tumble. Simply be in the same room with dad, that works. If dad is nearby, that counts as attention. But dad's focused attention is a huge gift to any sons. But for sensitive boys, it's not proximity. It's not just mere nearness, it's presence. That's why they want to be eyeball to eyeball. For years at Living Hope, we've been joking that the little tables at Starbucks are for Starbucks boys, you know, that where girls want to be face-to-face when they're interacting with people, so do the sensitive, artistic, creative ones. They want to be face-to-face. They want to be eyeball-to-eyeball. And simply being in the same room isn't enough. So one other thing that I want to share with you about attention is that most boys bond, and men bond shoulder to shoulder. And so that's why if guys are seated in the bleachers at sporting events or whatever, simply being next to each other as they're watching whatever's happening on the playing field, that feels like, oh, I'm being with my buddies and this is good, and it fills their tank for attention. A lot of sensitive boys, they want to be eyeball to eyeball. They're going to bond face to face rather than shoulder to shoulder. But the vast majority of you are going to have boys who are going to bond shoulder to shoulder. And this is true of both mom and dad and friends. When our older son was in the Air Force, he spent 4 months at the Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, and one of his buddies was also in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And every weekend, he would come home on Friday, and I would go to the airport area, pick him up, and we would spend the weekend together. And then on Sunday afternoons, I would take him back to get his ride. And it was really interesting. We could spend the entire weekend together, but he would start opening up in the car on the way to the meeting place when we were shoulder to shoulder in the car, facing in the same direction. It just made it so much easier for him to open up. This is the same kid who loved for me to sit on his bed and rub his back at night when it was time to go to sleep when he was a little boy with the lights turned low or off. So there was no face-to-face contact. It just made it so much easier for him to open up. And so if you're going to go for a walk with your sons or your husband, don't be asking them to be face-to-face with you if you want to affirm how they are. That's just, most boys are just like that. Most men are like that. So the first A is attention. The second A is affection. And this is the need for both physical affection and verbal affection. Verbally, you can't say I love you too many times. I married a man who literally has never heard I love you from either of his parents his entire life. How sad is that, right? And he misses it. There's an I love you hole in his heart. And I can tell him that 47 times a day, it's not going to fill the parental hole in his heart. So we need to say I love you. We need to use terms of endearment and other forms of communicating love. Things like, how am I so blessed to be your mommy or daddy? One friend used to tell his kids at night, if I could pick any kids in the whole world to be in my family, I would pick you. And no matter how many times he said that, they just ate it up. Actually, I'll tell you this, what just occurred to me in a minute. So there's verbal affection, there's also physical affection. And this is talking about safe and non-sexual touch, okay? Dads need to be protective in the way that they touch their kids so that he maintains his hero status with the kids. Boys need some form of roughhousing from their dad, the physical affection from their dads that says, you belong in the world of males. Boys need to know that dad treats them differently than he treats their sisters. And so that little bit of roughhousing, I don't mean in the least bit too much over the top or abusive, but it says you're a guy. You belong in the world of males. There are two kinds of nurturing that moms and dads give. And it's one of the ways that children see the difference between men and women, between dads and moms. Women, we moms give empathetic nurturing. It's soft, it's tender, it's soothing, it's reassuring. If somebody scrapes their knee, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Come here, let mommy kiss it and make it better. That's empathetic nurturing. There's another kind of nurturing that dads need to give, and that's called aggression nurturing. And it helps them develop a thicker skin. And you see that when a dad comes along and punches his son in the biceps, not hurtfully, you know, playfully, tousling his hair, and kid skins his knee, and dad looks at it and says, oh, hop up, you're fine, you're fine. You'll also find moms who know how to do aggression nurturing. It's like, is there blood? Oh, not a problem then, carry on. By the way, if you've ever seen NCIS, Jethro, I want to say Jethro Tull, that's not it. Jethro Gibbs, the primary guy there, he does head slaps with his male team members. He doesn't do that with his female team members, but that's aggression nurturing. That's how guys do it. You see it on the football field, somebody scores a touchdown and a guy slaps him on the butt. And that's what guys do to nurture each other. And that's fine. And boys need to receive that from each other and from dads. The third A is affirmation. And that means noticing and commenting when they do things right or if they even try. Approximations count, okay? So think about when a baby's learning to walk and trying to make those first steps and stands up, boom, down on their butt. We don't go, "Stupid baby, what are you thinking? That was dumb. You fell on your butt." We go, "Yay, you're getting there. You're learning how to do this." We just celebrate every try. And kids need that. They're going to need it all along in their lives. When we affirm kids, it communicates, "I am for you. I believe in you." And those are such incredibly powerful words. We need, that's a great way to show verbal affection too, is, "I believe in you. You've got this." By the way, if you want to see an amazing example of this, during the pandemic, one of the good things that came out of it was a wonderful man in Washington State. He's a Christ follower, although he doesn't make a big deal about it at all. But he launched a YouTube channel called Dad, How Do I? And he has come to realize that a lot of people, literally worldwide now, grew up without a dad giving them the three A's. And so he started making videos very gently and respectfully, teaching people how to change the oil in their car, teaching guys how to tie a tie, how to grill. How to do all sorts of things. And God has blessed him incredibly through this. He got, I don't know, like 2 million subscribers within the first 2 months. It's crazy. But at any rate, he'll look into the camera and say, "You've got this. And I believe in you. And, I love you, kids." He starts out all of his videos by going, "Hi, kids." And then he launches into what he's going to talk about. He goes, "But first, I have a dad joke for you." And he gives a really corny dad joke. It's awesome. And people are receiving the three A's from this man. And it makes me cry. I love to see what he's doing. One of the things that he started doing was reading children's books to grown-ups, many of whom never had anybody read to them. And one of the first books that he did was Max Lucado's book, You Are Special, which has the gospel all over it. At any rate, so we need to communicate affirmations to kids. And one of the ways we do that is by teaching them that it's okay to express their feelings and validate them. Now, we have a saying around here that feelings are real, but they're not reliable, which is true. They're not necessarily reliable. But first, we need to affirm having feelings and talking about them and identifying for them and validating you are entitled to feel whatever you feel. We'll go on to the next step from there, but let's talk about, you have the right to feel what you feel. Not saying things like, "Be quiet, we don't talk about those sorts of things," or, "That's silly, what are you crying about? Stop crying." Or, as so many girls have heard, "Stop being so emotional. That's ridiculous." That's the opposite of affirming. We need to affirm that children are made in the image of a volitional God who has feelings, and that's how we express our imago Dei, our image of God, is by expressing, feeling our feelings and expressing them. One of the best affirmations I've ever heard comes from the executive director of Living Hope. And every time he is talking to parents about how to minister to their kids, and he's talking about the three A's, he says that boys especially need to hear, "You're good enough, you're strong enough, and you've got what it takes." think about what that feels like to hear that from a dad, especially. You're good enough, you're strong enough, and you've got what it takes. That's as close to magic as you're going to hear. In terms of affirming girls, dads really need to affirm their daughters that in the fact that she's a girl and he loves it and he finds her charming and alluring and beautiful. Girls long to know that they're beautiful. Even the tomboy ones who don't want to dress up as girly girls want to know that they're beautiful. We need to celebrate that girls are girls, and dad needs to treat her like his princess instead of his tiger cub son. Cherish her, believe in her, bless her. Something incredible happens when a little girl dresses up in a dress which says, "I am a girl," and her daddy says, "You are so beautiful." Now, I'm verklempt. I never heard that from my dad growing up, not even on my wedding day. I never heard, "You are so beautiful." I still have a little bit of a father wound there. But you know what the Lord did? Several years ago, I was thinking about the fact that my dad never told me I was beautiful. And my Heavenly Father spoke very quietly to my heart, not audibly. I've never heard anything audible. But basically what I heard him say was, "But I made you, and I only know how to make beautiful things. And I think you're beautiful." That was such an amazing blessing to hear from God. The wound is still there. The healing is still in process. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that a girl can hear she's beautiful from her mom, from her aunt, from her neighbor, from her friends, but she's going to believe it when her daddy tells her. Little girls need their moms not so much to tell her that they're beautiful, but to show her what beauty is. Beauty that comes from the heart, that gentle and quiet spirit which is precious in the sight of God, Peter tells us. Girls need mom to embody that sense of beauty and confidence and strength and to affirm those things in her daughter, saying, "You're like me. You're different from your dad. You're different from the boys. You're just the kind of girl that God wanted you to be." So, moms, show your daughters what it means to be part of the world of girls. Brush her hair. Have her sit with you when you put on makeup and the things that you do that confirm that you're a woman. By the way, of the many, many lesbian women that I have had an opportunity to befriend and learn to love over the years at Living Hope, one of the things I've heard over and over again is that they don't have any confidence that they belong in the world of women, because they didn't get that from their moms or from other girls. And the way that we learn to be a woman is to hang around women. Oh, I guess that I've got to the end of my notes. At any rate, the bottom line with gender healthy kids is to pour the three A's into them: attention, affection, and affirmation. Talk about their gender as a good thing and pray that they will come away with the sense that my mom and dad are so glad that God made me a girl or that God made me a boy. I can be too. I just remembered what I was going to tell you a few minutes ago. That was when Jesus was baptized, what we see in the Gospels, that All three members of the Trinity were there, right? Jesus was being baptized. His Father spoke from heaven, and the Spirit appeared as a dove coming down on him. The Father gave the Son all three of the three A's at his baptism. Attention, he showed up. He was there. Affection, you are my beloved Son. And affirmation, in whom I am well pleased. That's one of my favorite things to say to my sons face to face, and also how I love to introduce them. I want you to meet my son, Kurt. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. it never gets old. They've never rolled their eyes. They've never said, you are so corny. They just soak it in. So my prayer for you is that you will absorb these things and it'll become part of your mothering. And you will be able to love your children with so much wisdom and education about the goodness of their gender. And I thank you so, so much for making it all the way to the end.